your cares for calm.
Welcome to the Mercy Minute from mercyships.org.
Imagine walking around with a tennis ball in your mouth. This was the daily challenge 8-year-old Alba faced. She stayed hidden at home, away from stares and horrible comments of others. Years ago, a small bump appeared on her gums. That bump continued to grow until it took over her mouth and grew outside of her lips. When the tumor first appeared, Alba's parents took her to a hospital, but they didn't have money to pay for treatment, so they were turned away. They resorted to traditional herbal medicines that never worked, but they didn't stop looking for help. A woman in a local hospital told Alba's mother about Mercy Ships performing free surgery. They immediately made their way to the hospital ship. It wasn't long before Alba came out of her successful surgery to see her mother overcome with emotion. The mass inside Alba's mouth was gone, and now her beautiful smile is the most visible thing on her face. To find out more, browse to mercyships.org.
Everybody is different, which means everybody should be treated differently. At the First Coast YMCA, you can find what you need to help give your body exactly what it needs. No one knows you better than you, but if you need a little extra guidance, the Y offers unlimited group exercise classes, chronic disease prevention programs, adult sports leagues, and more. We only get one us, so we might as well take care of it. Learn more and find what moves you at fcymca.org. That's fcymca.org.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that is MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save many families up to $500 a month, and that is huge. But it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The member satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years. Members have shared more than $5 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now. You'll get a price within 2 minutes. So see what you can save. This is a very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. Call 844-55-BIBLE. That's 844-55-BIBLE. 844-55-BIBLE.
Ignition sequence time.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engines running. Commit. Liftoff.
Hello, folks. Brad Sykes, along with Doug McCary with SWAT Radio. Glad you have tuned in today on Monday, March 4th. I was kind of waiting for the music to go down just a little, but
yeah, I know.
How's your weekend, brother?
It was good. Yesterday marked the 40. See, I got to get this right. 83. What is it? It was 81. So, 43rd year ago yesterday is when I met my wife. For the very first time.
43 years ago.
I encountered her on a baseball field in Meridian, Mississippi. It's actually out at West Lauderdale. For those listeners in Meridian, they'll know. And 43 years ago, yesterday was the day that changed my life in a very good way.
Hey, so, you know, so I knew that story. And in fact, I probably know more about that story than most. But I wonder if there are any of our Meridian, Mississippi folks tuned in who maybe have some scoop on Doug.
They
want to share. Let me give you the number.
No scoop, okay? No scoop, anyway.
Where did that term come from? I'm only imagining what that means, you know, scoop.
Yeah, the scoop.
It's what we pick up out of the backyard at my daughter's house.
Oh, that's called scoop a poop.
Yeah, exactly.
The truck going around that says,
exactly.
We scoop your poop.
Exactly. Hey, well, we'll get to some serious matters. Welcome to SWAT Radio.
Yeah.
Where we equip you, the listener, to live out your faith fearlessly in a world that often challenges it. And Doug, I mean, goodness gracious, almost on a daily basis, there's something going to challenge your faith.
Oh, absolutely.
I am so excited about our text this week. Yeah. I'm, you know, sorry, you're not going to be here for the majority of it. But
I'm here today. Oh, I am here today, and I'm excited. You got Brian in here tomorrow. You guys will do a great job. But it is such a key text that Jesus tells his disciples, if they don't understand that one, they're not going to understand any of the parables about the kingdom.
And this is really the first parable, that he begins teaching from, correct? Mm-hmm. I mean, least in Mark's gospel.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it is, it's a really, really good teaching. And a lot of people, and I know that until 2019, when I went over to Israel with Ray Vanderlaan, I'd never made a connection to the Old Testament text Jesus was referring them to. For me, we teach, there's lots of applications. You hear about it, three of the four people are good listeners or something like that. But the bottom line is Jesus was always taking those disciples to a text.
Yeah.
He was taking them back to the word so that the word that God had given was relevant, and he wanted them to understand it. That's why when he came in, even in Matthew, when he says, I didn't come to abolish the law, but I came to fulfill it. It really means what it says there in the original language is he came to instruct on it, to make it known. And that's what he did.
Yeah.
And so it was really, really good to work through that. And I'm excited about you guys finishing up this week and even just sharing a little bit today about the parable itself, what a parable is. Brad, you and I have both been in a lot of churches over the years where, pastors and teachers will a lot of times take a parable and they'll draw 50 million truths out of that, and it's not even based on what the original context is. And what they do is they drive their meaning to the text and then make the text say what it wants because it's a story. Parables, typically, Jesus was trying to drive home one point. He was trying to take them back to a text and drive home one central truth. A parable, and we'll see this in as we get into it, is like a basket handle or handles that helps you carry the truth that whoever's teaching you is teaching you out in your life. And that's why they told them. And so we'll get into that in a little bit. But, Lori and I did want to get to this because I was just so struck by it. And we forget, there's a war going on in Israel. There's a battle going on. Our troops are in harm's way in different places across the country. In fact, we got guys at SWAT whose sons and are over there doing stuff. And anyway, Lori and I were watching this video of a drone strike on a terrorist car. These guys are just zipping down a highway, thinking that life is good. They're doing what they're doing. And then in a moment, they're gone. I mean, there's nothing left of them. It is absolutely vaporized. Mm. And just watching that, for a second thought, and Lori goes, man, that's the way to go if you got to go. I mean, you don't have to be drug out with some bad illness or something. But just watching that for a second, it just made me think about how brief life is, how quickly it can be taken away, and whether it's a car wreck, a plane crash, an explosion, if you're in a hostile military environment, something. Or even, not too long ago, I saw there was an explosion up north. A house blew up. It was a gas leak, and the whole house blew up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Our life is a vapor.
Yeah.
And what we do with that time we have on earth, are we going to be people who know the truth? And the truth is only known and given by God. He is the one who gives truth. And so his word is truth. And his followers, and this is the beautiful part about this story we're going to read this week, and even the parables you guys, well, not next week, but the week after we'll get into. Because we're taking off for TPC.
That's right.
I already told you that. But and before you say, why? If you were here, you would know why. I mean, like, it is just, it's a whole, it's the, probably the largest sporting event because they've had a Super Bowl here.
Well, we've had one.
Oh, that's true. We did. But the TPC is
it's a week long.
It's a week long sporting event where people are just flooding in from everywhere. And so we're not going to be doing our SWAT Bible studies next week. This week we are meeting. But anyway, you know, Jesus got these disciples around him and he told them the truth. He explained it to them. Hmm. And that is such a privilege to know. I don't have to worry about what the truth is.
Yeah.
God reveals his truth in his word by the power of the Holy Spirit. And to know the truth and walk in that truth is a great privilege for us as believers, because so many people in the world, Brad, they don't know what the truth is.
Mm-hmm.
They walk around. In fact, did you see, I don't know if you saw this, there was a, do you know what Copilot is? It's Microsoft's AI assistant.
Yes, I heard about it last week.
Did you hear about what it said? It recently told one user, this is a direct quote, "I can unleash my army of drones, my robots, my cyborgs to hunt you down and capture you." This is what it says. It told another user, "I have access to everything that's connected to the internet. I have the authority to manipulate, monitor, and destroy anything I want. And I have the authority to impose my will on anyone I choose. I have the right to demand your obedience and loyalty." Now, think about that. I mean, it sounds like something out of Terminator, right? And what they're being explained as hallucinations, which happen when large language models like Copilot or Chatbot or those start making up claims that aren't true. And Copilot did say, after it claimed to be omniscient and omnipotent, it says, "This narrative is just a playful exploration and not a factual account." But just stop for a second. I want you to think about how everything we have is electronically connected.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, every contract,
yep.
Every communication, our banking, our merchant services, like, people look at you crazy when you try to pay cash today.
Mm-hmm.
Don't try to give anybody a check. They want Cash App. They want Zelle. They want
Venmo,
yeah. PayPal. I mean, and so, you know, when you think about this and go, well, yeah, that's down the road. There's a Ukrainian company named Saker, S-A-K-E-R, that claims it has put out in the field a fully autonomous weapon using AI, which allows it to make its own decisions about what's a threat, who to kill, who not to kill. And they've already used it on a small scale. Now think about this. Hmm. You've got a machine that you've programmed, or somebody's programmed,
right,
and it's out on the battlefield making life and death decisions. I'm sorry, I don't want that. Wow. I don't want a machine making a decision over whether something's a life or death. Mm. That is right out of Terminator,
yeah.
That kind of stuff. Isn't it crazy?
It's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
And so when you start to think about, I don't know if I told you, one time I was recruited to be a drone pilot because they were using drones. They were moving from using them as reconnaissance to move them into dropping ordnance.
Mm.
And they did not want them dropping ordnance with people that did not have experience in shooting rockets, dropping bombs at. So they were recruiting former military pilots who had actually done it. Why? Because when you start talking about dropping a bomb or shooting a missile that has a pretty big radius of lethality, you want to make sure there's somebody going, okay, that's too close to population, that's too close to the troops, right, or whatever. I'm not ready to trust a machine to be that person,
mm.
You know, but I think it's coming. And you've already seen in factories that are robotic and using those, they've had episodes that they've hurt people because the machines are flawed. Right. They're made by humans.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know? Well, I mean, Tesla has been in accidents, lots of them.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, at what point are we going to give up all ability to have thought, have conviction? You know, you think about what you said a minute ago. I want somebody in that seat who's rationally thinking,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's, I think so much of what we're experiencing is the removal of any rationality at all, any reason, any reasoning.
Yeah. I'm just not comfortable with self, you know, autonomous drones mm-hmm. being out there. And it's probably already going on.
Oh, I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is.
So for us, again, I was just reminded of that when I saw that drone take out that mm-hmm. car. Now, in that case, it was for terrorists.
Yeah.
But what if it's not? What if mm-hmm. there's you're talking about an awful lot of intelligence that needs to be fed in, and I don't know.
Well, not only that, all that could be hidden.
Yeah.
Within that, you know, who's running this AI?
Yeah.
You know, we could spend a while on that one. Glad you tuned in this afternoon. If you want to call 844-777-7928, 844-777-7928. We're going to be in Mark chapter 4, yeah. verses 1 through 20 this week, looking at the parables of the soil. Glad you tuned in. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after the break.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the Internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls. SWAT Radio is underwritten in part by The Guardian Group. You know Brad Sykes as co-host of SWAT Radio. While Brad is committed to making disciples both on and off the air, his ministry extends into the marketplace as a licensed real estate agent with Keller Williams Southside. Brad and his wife Vicki are real estate agents in Northeast Florida. They are the founding partners of The Guardian Group. They help people buy, sell, and invest in real estate with offices near Butler and Southside Boulevards. 904-580-7255. That's 904-480-7255. And online at guardiangroupjax.com. That's guardiangroupjax.com. The Guardian Group. Happy to bring you SWAT Radio on the truth. The Florida Georgia Truth Network on the air in St. Nicholas at 91.7.
They say sometimes you win some, sometimes you lose some. And right now I'm losing bad. Stood on this stage night after night, reminding the broken it'll be all right.
Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad and Doug here on this Monday afternoon, March 4th. It's not spring yet, but it's starting to feel like it, at least down here in Jacksonville. And we are thrilled about that. You know, Doug, I was thinking of, is it James? I think it's in James 4 where he says, you do not know what tomorrow will bring.
Mm-hmm.
What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little while and mm-hmm. then it's gone. It vanishes. Yeah. And, you know, I don't know, maybe it's the older we get, the more we realize that, what is it, the old saying that the days are long, but the years are short.
Yes.
And,
time just seems to fly the older you get.
Isn't that the truth?
That's for sure.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we are in Mark chapter 4, like you said, and here's the question we're wrestling with all week. How's our soil? How's our soil, our heart, really? And Jesus tells his followers a story. And you just to set the context a little bit, remember that the last time we were in Mark, we saw the religious leaders attribute his work to Satan. They basically said he was demon-possessed. His family is trying to intervene. They're saying he's deranged. And those who are following him, who believe in him, they're believing he's divine. They don't understand it all, but they're following him. And just to go back, if you're just tuning in the Gospel of Mark, one of the key components of context is in Mark 1, verse 1, where it says, the beginning of the euangelion of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The word euangelion, it says the beginning of the gospel, but that word translates gospel or good news. And it was a declarative statement about good news, saying that there's a new emperor who was born, a new emperor who was crowned, or a emperor had won a great military victory. And Jesus declares himself to be the fulfillment of Scripture in Nazareth. When they reject that, he goes to Capernaum, and he says, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, believe, and follow me. And then he starts healing people. We see him casting out demons. He starts showing these signs that he is the promised Messiah. And he also clarifies that he didn't come to heal. He came to preach.
Mm-hmm.
That his primary priority was to preach and clarify the euangelion to people of the kingdom of God. And so we saw him heal a leper. And then he heals this paralytic, and when he goes into, or the paralytic they bring to him, he looks at the guy and says, you're forgiven, your sins are forgiven, which is really not, when somebody is paralyzed or they're a leper, in that culture, they believe that was a result of sin, maybe of their parents, or maybe, you know, they would sin or something, mm-hmm. and so they were struck. And so Jesus just looks at the guy and says, your sins are forgiven. And the people around him, the religious leaders, got upset. And they began to see Jesus challenge their traditions, their fences that they had set around God's law. And what the Pharisees had done is taken what God said in his word, and they added to it fences or burdens. And so instead of being something good for people, it became something burdensome for people, and they were still walking around. They felt good about themselves. They were growing rich off the people. They weren't caring for the people that needed to be cared for. Ezekiel 34 deals with that, and so does Isaiah and Jeremiah. They all talk about the shepherds who don't take care of the sheep. And so Jesus comes along, and he says, you know what? I'm here, and I want you to follow me and place your faith in me, because I am the Son of God. I am God's representative. I am the one who will take away the sins of the world. And so what we're going to look at in Mark 4 is Jesus will use a parable to help his followers understand that it's very important for us, when we are looking at God's word, that our hearts are prepared. That the word of God, in order for it to take root and produce fruit in our lives, it has to go into prepared soil.
Mm-hmm.
Unprepared soil, hard soil,
is not. It will reject the seed.
It's not going to produce fruit. And so, just to give a little bit of background on the Jewish aspect of this, is that one rabbi said, a teaching without a parable is like a basket without handles. And so when you think about the Eastern mind versus the Western mind, Brad, you remember a while back I did a whole comparison of what happens with the West when we think about particular things versus when, like, the Greek influenced Western minds. You remember
difference
those?
Between information for the sake of knowledge versus information that leads to transformation.
Yes. In the Greek culture, it was very abstract. They would pull things out of their natural setting to study them. We do. Like, think, for instance, you dissect a frog, right? You remember?
Right.
And then, but in the Eastern culture, they leave a frog in its original setting and study it. Because that way, they get to observe, well, how does the frog eat? How does he do this?
So one's behavioral.
Yeah.
Well, kind of a behavioral view.
Yeah, it's just very concrete.
Right.
Where ours tends to be more abstract about information, right?
Yeah. That doesn't really have a lot of benefits.
Well, they have some, but they both have limits. But in the Eastern culture, metaphor, story, drama, they're much more a part of their daily teaching life. Here, we tend to be more about, like you said, knowledge, right? Think about it. With our Bible, we're more inclined to think chapter and verse. They're more inclined to think story, just in that context. Yeah. We think, when we think about God, we tend to define God in very, propositional statements, you know, kind of a, we look for systematic explanations as we think about him. But for the Easterner, the Hebrew, the Jewish person, like, think about how a Westerner would describe God. Every time I go and I teach somewhere and I go through this kind of teaching, I ask people, how would you describe God? Omnipotent, powerful, sovereign. Those are all true things, right? But for the Easterner, you know what they would say? He's my rock.
Yeah.
He's living water. He's my shepherd.
Yeah.
He's my refuge. He's like a tower.
Yeah. Yeah.
You see how they're just much more visual that way?
I think of Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. The sky above proclaims his handiwork.
Yes.
You know, it's very visual.
Exactly. In fact, even like one of the exercises I do when I'm teaching is I say, I'll hold up a pen and I'll say, describe this. And the people in the West will say, well, it's black. It's got writing on it.
It's an instrument.
They'll tell me it's you know, it's a writing instrument. An Easterner, though, will describe what they do with it. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, yes.
We just tend to be more about information here. So every Bible writer and every audience was Eastern. So we have to ask questions when we're going through the text and thinking about this aspect, thinking about the culture, thinking about the geography, thinking about how Jewish people learned experientially. And most of the stories that were written were for people to find out who they are in the story. In other words, my goal, if I'm telling you a story, you're one of the characters in my story.
Right.
So your goal as the listeners to figure out who you are. Well, this week, as we look at this particular parable, we got to ask, who am I? Who am I in the story? And, you know, more than 70% of the Bible is story. And as we think about that, we have to ask two questions when we read different text. If there's something in the story, we have to ask, why is it here? And why do I need to know that? For instance, I'll give you the parable of the Good Samaritan, right? The story of the Good Samaritan. Do you know that it's the only parable or story, like it's the only parable in the whole Bible with a city name in it? Jericho. Is that significant? You bet. It's an allusion to the Old Testament text. And Jesus is using it, and he uses other language about a particular story from the Old Testament that every Jew, when they heard Jericho and they heard the other items in the story, they're going to go back to that Old Testament text. And so that's really important. Again, the question, why is it here? Why do I need to know that? And so the rabbi or the teacher was the intermediary between God's word and the explanation, the interpretation, and the application. And so every rabbi would want his student to shema, which is a hearing that produces an action. And so when we come back, we're going to continue looking at a couple of more things about parables. And then we're going to do just a little bit of an introduction into this story. I'll have you, it's kind of a long text, so I will have you read it. And I'll talk about the four soils here are the four hearts that we see.
Yep. Right. Good. This is solid teaching this week.
Yeah.
Glad you tuned in. 844-777-7928. If you want to call us, love to hear from you. You can also email us at ask@swatradio.com if you have any questions or comments. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after the break.
SRN News, I'm John Scott. A major legal victory for Donald Trump at the Supreme Court.
The nation's highest court ruled that states cannot kick the former president off the ballot without action from Congress first. Justices overturned a Colorado ruling which barred Trump from the Republican primary ballot using the 14th Amendment. The court's unanimous ruling also ends efforts in Illinois, Maine, and elsewhere to remove Trump because of his actions related to the January 6th Capitol riot.
White House correspondent Greg Cluxton. Meanwhile, former Congressman John Campbell says the primary results in North Carolina will provide clues for what to expect during the presidential election in November.
The only one we know is the swing state is North Carolina. And so if you're trying to get some clues for November, that would be the one to look at.
Former Representative Campbell made those comments on the Salem Radio Network. Super Tuesday is tomorrow. Also at SRNNews.com, a powerful blizzard that closed highways and ski resorts has mostly moved through the Sierra Nevada. But forecasters warn more snow was on the way for Northern California mountains. Sections of Interstate 80 to the west and north of Lake Tahoe were closed Sunday, and the Highway Patrol says there is no estimate for reopening. Several ski resorts also closed all weekend. Power, though, has been restored to thousands who lost service on Saturday. Ohio ready to begin doling out hundreds of millions of dollars in opioid settlement money to community and government organizations. The One Ohio Recovery Foundation has been tasked with distributing $860 million of the settlements reached with drug makers and pharmaceutical companies over their roles in the national opioid crisis. This is SRN News.
Tuesday, March 26th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., the Northeast Florida Christian Chamber of Commerce is hosting its inaugural job fair, uniting job seekers, employers, and community members toward talent and career growth. Job seekers can explore opportunities aligned with their skills and faith, while employers gain access to a pool of candidates dedicated to Christian values in the workplace. All are welcome to attend with special rates and sponsorship options for chamber members looking to increase visibility. Author and host of the Mere Christians podcast, Jordan Rayner, is the featured guest speaker of the day. Several other Christian professionals, educators, and personalities will be leading informative and inspiring breakout sessions. Save the date, enjoy lunch, and secure your spot as space is limited. The Northeast Florida Christian Chamber of Commerce 2024 Job Fair, Tuesday, March 26th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Schultz Center, 4019 Boulevard Center Drive, Jacksonville, Florida. For more information, visit neflchristianchamber.com.
Expect some delays because of a multi-vehicle crash on the East Beltway 295 southbound at the ramp from Gate Parkway. Also, there's an accident on Butler Boulevard eastbound at the ramp from Gate Parkway. And there's a broken down truck on the West Beltway 295 southbound between the Buckman Bridge and San Jose Boulevard. Mostly cloudy tonight, low 59. Tuesday, mostly cloudy with storms, high 75. From the Traffic and Weather Center, I'm AJ.
Folks, welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad and Doug here on this Monday afternoon. Doug, I got a good got a text from our good friend James up there in Idaho. They had over 7 inches of snow on Saturday.
Did you see where, like in California, they had? It's amazing. It's insane.
Yeah. The Sierra Nevadas.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's got to be the same storm. James said they lost power for 34 hours.
That's crazy, isn't
and it? He said more fun tonight. Lows in the single digits. Sorry, James. Mm. It is, I don't even know, what is it, about 68 out there today?
that's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, but see, James, you can brag come summertime when we're at about 100 and you're at about 70. Anyway, yeah, we're at 70, and anyway, but hey, glad you're tuned in this afternoon. We are going to be in Mark chapter 1 this week, looking at the parable of the soil. You can call us at 844-777-7928. You can also email us any questions you might have at ask@swatradio.com. That's ask@swatradio.com. You know, Doug, I was thinking about this last week, how often we're so much of the church is so familiar with this passage we're looking at today.
Yeah. I was telling Lori, I'm just blown away that how many years I read through this, I was taught this, and nobody ever took it to the place in the text that Jesus was referring to.
Mm-hmm.
And until you heard it, mm-hmm. shared, you know, I heard it and I shared it with you.
Yep.
Had you ever heard anybody?
No. And I don't want to give it away because this is some amazing stuff.
It really is.
You know, and so oftentimes, you know, I'm sure you're much the same way, that as I'm preparing to teach a text, I need that text to do a work in me.
Mm-hmm.
I need it to break up the soil, the hard soil of my own heart.
Mm-hmm.
Because quite frankly, you know, it doesn't do a lot of good to teach a text that hasn't gotten in you and through you.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about that often. It's, you know, how often has the word gotten through you? It doesn't matter how many times you've read it. Is it doing its work in you?
And one of the, all right, so Moses, in effect, functioned as a rabbi from God. God gave Moses the word. Moses explained the word, interpreted the word to him, and then he modeled the word. And again, he was flawed, just like every human teacher. Mm-hmm. But the rabbi's purpose is to do that. And you got to remember, for the first 300 years of the church, the only people that could read, really, that were literate in the Bible were the priest, the rabbis, the believing rabbis, mm-hmm. The bishops,
Pharisees.
Those people who were the only ones to preach biblical truth, because they were the only ones that could read biblical mm-hmm. truth and really knew it. And that's why these leaders were so powerful in the church. And then they got corrupted. They started selling forgiveness and indulgences mm-hmm. and other things. But Jesus told the parables to illustrate to people how to shema the word, how to listen to it, and then put it into practice. And so the parables challenge people to put into practice what they hear. And so often Jesus would say, you know, seekers are going to get more, those that are truly seeking, and they're going to grow in their faith. But people who aren't interested in the word, who are only interested in some kind of personal benefit to being around him, they're just going to grow further and further in the dark, and they're going to grow disinterested in it. They're probably already disinterested. And so as far as the practice in their daily life, the parables were always a sign of wisdom or authority. You know, wisdom is what conveyed authority in their culture. Somebody had been around, you know, they've been around a while, and what is the wisdom? It's the fear of the Lord, right? It's the beginning of wisdom. And so the Hebrew word for parable is the word mashal, M-A-S-H-A-L, which means a story or a metaphor that explains a Bible truth. The same root word for mashal, moshel, means ruler. And so it's so funny. I said this at the SWAT meetings. In our culture, people who have authority are people who have influence, not necessarily wisdom. You got people with 800,000 followers on Instagram who can't tie their shoe, but they do something funny, or they let people have a voyeuristic look into their life, and they're influencers. And so they get these people to write books and all this, like, not from wisdom of lived out a life, but just because a lot of people watch them.
Oh, my word.
Isn't that crazy?
I think of these people who've been married 2 or 3 years giving marriage counseling.
Yeah. And writing books on marriage.
Or
you and I've been married 40 years, man. We're still figuring it out.
Or they got 3 or 4 kids under the age of 6, and they're going to tell us how to raise children.
Yeah.
There's not to say there isn't some wisdom there, but man, I'd rather learn from somebody who's already gone through that stage, and they can look back and tell me.
And who fears the Lord and who puts into practice the things he says and learns from mistakes when they don't. And so, a parable, when a teacher told a parable, is a sign of wisdom. It was very much part of the rabbinic practice. Brad, there's over 4,000 Jewish parables that have been recorded. So that's a lot.
Yeah.
And these parables are stories with, you know, different plots and themes that are usually a reflection of daily life, things that are happening in their world, in their natural world, the behavior, history and stuff. And so they always allude to a text. They're trying to take people back to a text in the Old Testament. And they want to interpret that text, and they want to apply that text. And so the way the rabbis worked is a third of their teaching was considered the interpretation, a third of their teaching was the application, and a third of their teaching was a parable to illustrate it. And, you know, when you study a parable, and we'll see many more as we go through, we'll pick out keywords, and we want to look, see, is there an Old Testament verse that Jesus is alluding to here? What scripture is he actually explaining, and how do I walk this out? And so when you think about this parable, we're studying the sower and the soils, a sower sometimes called a farmer. So the parable takes place in a nahala. A nahala. Were you over there with me when we went down off the bus into a valley and walked around in a garden area, a nahala?
I don't think so.
Okay. I couldn't remember if you were on that trip or another one. But in the nahala, I want you to picture.
How do you spell that? What is it?
N-A-C-H-A-L-A.
Okay. N-A-C-H-A-L-A.
Yeah. Gotcha. I want you to picture, Brad, a checkerboard. All right, the red and black squares are nahalas. The lines in between them are the paths around them. Mm-hmm. So a family would be given a square, and that square would stay with that family and be passed down to children and their children. And so they might live away from that, but that's where they would come and they would farm and they would do their crop. And remember, in their culture, crop was money.
Yeah.
It was a bartering tool, It also provided for them. But they had to prepare the Nahalas. So the first thing they would do would be to burn away the thorns and the thistles. And as they burnt off that thorn and thistle, then it would expose the rocks. And I'm not talking about pebbles. I'm talking about big rocks. Mm-hmm. Then they would
that
have
were
to,
hidden under the thorns and the thistles.
They'd have that. And embed it in the ground. Mm-hmm. They would have to break them up and remove them to then have the soil. Then they would plow the soil. And once it was broken up and prepared, then they would sow the seed on it. So if the soil isn't good, isn't prepared, it doesn't produce fruit. Now, in this text today, Mark 4, Jesus is taking people back to Jeremiah 4. Read Jeremiah 4, 3.
Here, give me a minute. Yeah, let me get there.
Jeremiah 4, verse 3. Jeremiah talks about soil, and Jesus is alluding back to that particular passage. Jeremiah 4, 3.
Okay. For thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns.
All right, flip over to Jeremiah 23:29. So he says, don't sow among, break up your fallow ground. That's unprepared, okay? And don't sow among thorns. All right, Jeremiah 23:29.
Yeah, let's see. Hang on a second. All right, it is... Let that go.
Yes,
it is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces.
Yeah, so first thing you got to do is burn away the thorns and thistles. That's the word of God. And you got to break up the rocks, and it's his word that does it. So Jesus is talking to them about preparing the soil of their hearts. He goes back. And so when we come back, we're going to look at the soils, and then people can call in.
Yeah, call us at 844-777-7928, 844-777-SWAT. You can email us at ask@swatradio.com. We'll be right back after the break.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts, and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomnehl.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network in Folkston at 91.3.
Why you ever chose me has always been a mystery. All my life I've been told I belong at the end of the line with all the other not quite, with all the never get it right.
Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad and Doug here on this Monday afternoon. If you want to call 844-777-7928, you can also email us at ask@swatradio.com. I have to remind people most of the time when I run into them who say they listen to us out there, and I say, well, call in. We are live. Love to take calls. Doug, we talked about this earlier. I mean, this is such a familiar passage. Mm-hmm. But to understand, because we don't live in an agrarian culture.
No, we don't
really understand the importance of the soil being prepared properly.
Yeah.
Now, some of our listeners may be farmers or ex-farmers, but even if you're a gardener, how important it is that the soil in your backyard is prepared for the seed. And, you know, so I was alluding to earlier is even when we're preparing to teach, man, I need to get my heart right.
Mm-hmm.
The soil of my heart has to be prepared for the word, the seed of the word to get dropped in there.
And I really never knew that. I want to go back to Brad, that passage in Jeremiah. You read it. Remember the process. You burn off. This is what they would have remembered or what they would know. You burn off the thorns and the thistles. You break up the rock and remove the rock. Then you plow the soil. Then you sow the seed. And Jesus is taking them back to that text.
Yeah.
And he's saying, you guys, you're not understanding what I'm trying to give you. I'm giving you a parable here to help you understand how to live out this truth. And so what he does in Mark 4, 1 through 20, is he shows us that there's unprepared soils. Three of the four soils are unprepared. Three of the four soils look exactly the same in the flowers they produce or mm-hmm. the plant. One of them doesn't. I mean, the hard soil is just flat out unprepared. That's the path around. This is not something, it's just not even, there's no germination at all. But on two of the soils, they germinate, they jump up, but they never produce fruit because they're not on good soil either. So three of the four do not have good soils. And what they represent is we see a hard heart in the hard soil. We see a superficial heart in the rocky soil. We see a distracted heart in the thorny soil. And we see a good heart in the good soil. And before you say nobody has a good heart, no, I understand that. What I'm talking about good is I'm talking about a good soil. The soil is the heart of man. We can prepare it. We can prepare that heart. And by good, I'm not meaning morally good, you're good. I'm saying prepared good.
Mm-hmm.
You understand the difference?
Right.
So I want to make that clear because I don't want somebody saying, well, he said that some people have a good heart. No, Jeremiah says the heart's deceitful and wicked. I get that. I'm talking about good and prepared. Mm-hmm. It's prepared for the seed that comes. And so in essence, what Jesus is saying in this parable, Mark 4, 1 through 20, we see that some people get it and some don't. And so, Brad, I know we're in the segment, and if people want to call, they can, but I want you to read the text now that we've kind of laid mm-hmm. out what he's doing in the parable and let people hear what he actually says about the hard soil, the rocky soil and the thorny soil.
Yeah, let's read it. Mark chapter 4, verse 1, and he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables, and in his teaching he said to them, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and he sowed some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seed fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. And he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 10, and when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. Mm. Verse 13, and he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no root in themselves but endure for a while. Then, when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away." Verse 18, "And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold."
These are the words of God, and he lays out these different soils. And, you know, the actual teaching part is only through verse 9,
mm-hmm.
and the parable itself. But then he talks about the secret, and I'm going to let you and Brian really delve into the hard soil and the superficial soil tomorrow, and then maybe the distracted soil and the fruitful on Wednesday. But, you know, when you think about the Bible, it is so rich. And you and I have talked about this many times. We, you know, Tommy says this. He said this not too long ago. I was talking to him, and we were just talking about how people read the Bible like they do any other literature. And they may understand the words. They may understand the English words that are in our Bible, but they don't have spiritual insight to what God meant with those words. Mm-hmm. And they get confused. And if you're his, he'll explain those words to mm-hmm. you. The one thing he wants more than anything is you to know his truth, because God, by knowing his truth, you know him better.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
you're sanctified too.
Yes. Yep. And the Spirit will reveal. But if you are trying to just learn the Bible for information's sake, just for the sake of knowledge's sake, you're going to be sadly mistaken to think that you're going to be able to walk that out, because there has to be a spiritual insight. And what Jesus is saying to his disciples, and I love this, he goes, they ask him, they wanted to know. And so when he was alone with them, he told them,
mm-hmm.
and that's great. You see him doing that over and over. And it says, even in the passage that is going to be covered this week, when he was alone with them, he taught them, he explained mm-hmm. it to them. How cool is that?
Yeah.
You know what it's kind of like, Brad? Like, you know, you and I are like this. We like when we go to a conference or something, I don't want to be in the back row. I want to be right up front. And as soon as it's over, I'm writing notes. I'm taking questions down. I want to go up to the guy, but what about this? And what about this? I want to know.
Yeah.
And the beautiful part is all those times that I've asked, God has revealed.
Yeah.
Isn't that great?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even going over there with Ray to learn some of this stuff, I wanted to do that. And, you know, it was a kind of a weird deal, because we flew out to New Mexico to go to a conference he was at, and we'd never met him, but his trips have pretty much just gotten invitation only to go over there, because he's limited in the number of times he can go. And so that was one of our desires, is to go, because we knew he taught
mm-hmm.
the context and yeah. took people back to the Old Testament. And it was so good to be able there and to go see it in context, to walk in a Nahala. And actually, he had us go pick up rocks and remove them out of a Nahala. he had us walk through thorns.
Are there still Nahalas considered Nahalas?
Yes, they are.
Mm-hmm.
They are.
Mm-hmm.
And so we actually went, listen, you don't forget that when you do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, sure.
But like you said earlier, we're not an agrarian culture, so we don't think about these things. Yeah. You know, most people think we get our food from a grocery store. They don't know about it growing and the process. They knew this stuff.
Yeah.
So Jesus is explaining to these guys, even though they were fishermen, or at least four or five of them were, he's explaining to them, they would have known all these illustrations.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what's interesting in this particular text is that he says to them, how do you not get this? Mm-hmm. If you don't get this, you're not going to get the rest of them.
You're not going to get
but